choir great, and especially music. We thank the Lord for that. But I do have something to share with you from God's Word. I'd like to invite you to take out your bulletin, the insert. He shall be called Emmanuel. And on the back of that outline for our study this morning, we have an invitation for each and every one of you here today. How many are ready for Christmas? Raise your hand. Okay, there's a few of you just like me. I have some great news for you, though. Something that will help you get ready for Christmas, okay? His name is called Emmanuel, and he's the one who will help us get ready. There in your outline before you have the green sheet, entitled, He Shall Be Called Emmanuel. You have Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 and verses 20 through 23. That was read earlier, really presented by the Shine group, ministry group. But I'd like for you to take it out and follow with me as I read. I'm going to ask you to circle a couple of words there. Can you do that for me, okay? Follow with me as I read that, and you have it for you. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Circle that if you will. The name Jesus. For he will save his people. Will you underline that? For he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled. Would you circle that? That word fulfilled. Very important part of the Christmas message, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Would you circle that also? Emmanuel, which translates God with us. We've been going through a series, just a mini-series, on the Emmanuel principle, and it is a principle presented throughout the Word of God. Not just here in Matthew chapter 1, or by reference, if you will, way back in Isaiah, 700 years before the birth of Christ, his birth was predicted. It was prophesied. It was promised. And this is one of the verses, of course, that we see the fulfillment of God's word and God's promise. But the Emmanuel principle, God with us, we see is a principle that's taught throughout the Word of God, right there at creation. Right there to the end, if you will, of Revelation. Emmanuel, we look at, they walked with God as God with us. The promise, and I shall be with you. But this morning, we want to take a little deeper look at the name, Emmanuel. But we see also in Scripture that it's not just a name, it is a proper name. A name that is given to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And it means God with us. So it's not just a proper name that's attributed to Jesus, God's Son. But it's also a personal experience that you and I can have personally. God with us. Do you have that experience? This is one of the wonderful ways you and I can really be prepared for Christmas. Not just knowing the name, Emmanuel, but knowing the person that name presents. So I want to share with you some thoughts with regard to Emmanuel and how that relates to each and every one of us. Emmanuel, God with us. It's a compelling, if you will, compelling and comforting words, God with us. Compelling in the sense that, as you see in your outline before, in the sense that our hearts are seeking to do those things that will please Him and honor Him. When God's with you, you want to do those things, don't you? And not only is it a compelling, if you will, name and phrase, God with us, but it's also comforting. And it's God intended both meanings and applications. Comforting in the sense that no matter what difficulty, no matter what trial we go through, it's a comfort and strength to know that God is with us. To know Emmanuel personally. Emmanuel has come. Aren't you glad? Amen. I am. Emmanuel has come to set things right. There in your outline before you, you have three areas that he set things right. First of all, he set things right with God. He also set things right in hearts, and he sets things right with one another. He sets things right with God because God knows we couldn't do it. No matter how hard you and I try to set things right between us and God, we can't do it. To set things right in our heart. Oh, we try many, many things to set things right in our own heart, in a relationship with God, in our walk in this world. It takes a man to do that. But that's why he came. Emmanuel came to set things right with God, within our hearts, and to set things right with one another. God's word tells us that Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, came and he tore down that wall of partition between people. You have any walls of partition within your family, extended family, with those at work? Emmanuel not only sets things right with us with God and sets things right within our hearts, but he sets things right with one another. Do you know Emmanuel? I pray you do. We're going to be looking at three phrases that describe the human condition as well as a relationship with God. Take a look, if you will, at your outline before you. The first phrase, if you will, to really understand the full depth of what that name Emmanuel means, or what it means to have God with us, we first have to understand that God is against us. Oh, I know that that doesn't really ring true in a lot of preaching and teaching today, but God is against us. He's against our sin, your sin and my sin. In fact, many times you read in the Word of God that phrase, "And I am against you," when he spoke to the nations, when he spoke to his own people, Israel, "I'm against you." And when he spoke to the churches in the book of Revelation, he says, "I have this against you." To really understand that name and that experience of Emmanuel, God with us, we need to start there. God is against us, against you and against me, because of our sin. Your outline before you have a number of things. Sin is rebellion against God and places the sinner, that's you and I, at enmity, at war with God, in opposition to him. That's why God is against us. And again, I know that that's not commonly taught or preached, but it's told to us in God's word. You see, God wants us to know the good news, but in order for us to really understand the good news of the gospel, we need to understand the bad news. And you know, there's probably nothing worse in your life, in my life, in all of this world, to have God, our Creator, being against us. Have you ever felt that way? That God is against you? Have you felt that way when things don't go your way? And you say, "God must be against me." I know some of you are probably thinking, "But Bill, wait a second. What about John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," because he's the answer to that first phrase. God is against us. God is against you and me in the sense of against the sins that we do. But notice also the next phrase right there, and that gives us hope. Gives us the very light of Christmas, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Gives us the answer to that phrase and that reality that God is against us and we are at enmity with God. God is also what? What's that next phrase? God is for us. Oh, thank the Lord for that. And that's also told many times throughout God's word, from Genesis to Revelation. And he demonstrates how much he's for you. He's for me. He's for us. Yes, the same God that is against us says, "I am for you." And the proof of that is in the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ. Emmanuel came to bring those at enmity with God, at war with God, at rebellion against God, in opposition to God. That's you and me. Emmanuel came to bring all of us, whom God was against because of our sin, back to God and have peace with him. And that work of peace, for God is for us in his Son Jesus Christ, that we can be reconciled to God. That's a beautiful word. We don't use it too much. When's the last time you used the word reconciliation in your marriage? When was the last time you used reconciliation with your children? When was the last time, you know, we don't only use that, but God used that word so many times because he wants us to know that, yes, God is against us because we're sinners, but he's for us in his son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile us. Listen to what Peter says. For Christ also suffered once for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Peter's talking about reconciliation. Reconciliation is bringing two people together, isn't it? You know, like a husband and wife when they're at odds, that never happens here, I know. But we're talking about those outside, you know what I mean?
Talk to my wife.
Reconciliation. But see, that's why Emmanuel came. That's why Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came. To bring about that reconciliation with God, who was against us because of our sins. To reconcile us with God. And to also reconcile us with one another. Aren't you glad? I sure am. God is for us. Take a look at that next verse. It should really charge your spiritual battery. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespass, their sins to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You know something? Only God could reconcile us to himself. We can't do it. No matter how you want to try it, whether you want to try it by joining a church, by joining a religion, by getting baptized, that ain't going to do it. I tried those things. I come to realize the reality is, no matter how good I think I live my life, God is still against my sin. But God is also for me and for you in his son, Jesus Christ, that he would impute my sins and your sins. That word imputation means that he placed our sins upon his son, that we could be reconciled to God. Jesus, Emmanuel, paid the sin debt for every one of us. Aren't you glad? Nobody likes debts. How many like debts? Raise your hand. Yeah, I don't see a hand. Oh, wait, it's that. Lee, you're just doing that to bug me, I know. But I still love you. Only God can reconcile us to himself. We can't do it. And only God can take our trespasses, our sins, and put them on his son, Jesus Christ. And take the righteousness of Jesus Christ and put that to our account. Aren't you glad? That double imputation. There was a transaction there at the cross and the empty tomb of Christ's resurrection. Take a look at the next verse. Oh my, this is great. It just gets better and better. Or as one kid used to say, it gets gooder and gooder, Bill. Yeah, it does. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much more? Would you circle that? How much more? You see, there's so much more that you and I can experience in God with us, Emmanuel. As we know him, we walk with him, we love him, we serve him. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Only Jesus Christ, God's Son Emmanuel, could pay the price for our sins. If you're here today and you say, well, Bill, I don't need Jesus. I don't need Jesus. I like Christmas. I don't need Jesus. I think I can pay my own debt. Well, let me ask you this. How's that working out for you right now? Let me ask you in about 100 years from now, if we ever meet, how's that working out for you then? Only Jesus could pay that debt that I owed, that you owed, and reconcile us. And aren't you glad? He did. It's always good when you're paying off something and you have that last payment and you get the receipt paid in what?
Full.
Come on, paid in?
Full.
In full. When Jesus Christ, there on Calvary's cross, cried out to Telesai, it is finished. Paid in full. You see, the same God that is against us because of our sins
the same God that is for us in His Son, Jesus Christ.
Let's go on to the next verse you have right there before you in Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, and He is, who can be against us? He who did not spare His only Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us? What does it say there?
All
things. I'm so glad that I have a Savior that died for me and for you. And I'm really, really, really glad that I have a Savior that's no longer dead. You know what I mean? For He rose. And we want to invite you all back on Easter Sunday, when we not only celebrate Christ as today, but we celebrate the one who died on Calvary's cross and rose triumphantly from the grave. And God, who is against us because of our sin and is for us in His Son Jesus Christ, says in His word, having not spared His only begotten Son, how will He not also freely give us all things? Amen. I like the all things, don't you? You can say yes. Come on now. I'm not the only one who can talk here. Can you talk? Sure you can. All right. Amen. Let's go on very quickly, if you will. This brings us to the next and the last of the three phrases. And that is what? God what? God in us. So we have God against us, and that's a fact of reality. God for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why Emmanuel came, to set things right with God, to set things right in your heart, in my heart, and to set things right with one another. God for us becomes God in us when you and I accept God's gift. That gift is His Son, Jesus Christ. Do you know something? And we have a Christmas tree here. Do you have a Christmas tree at home? Now, there's nothing pagan about that. You know, these people who really get up on the, you know, on the toot about the Christmas trees and everything else, don't worry about it. But let me use that as an example. God hung His greatest and most precious gift on a tree. That tree was a cross, so that Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, would not only prove that God is for you, for us, but that God wants to be in us. You see, that's a miracle, just as much as the incarnation, that God would want to, and He does, would want to dwell in your heart, in your life. And take a look, if you will. God in us, the experience for every believer in Emmanuel. It's a gift to be enjoyed. He is that gift. To be appreciated, yes, to be appreciated. To be experienced. To not only be reconciled with God through Jesus Christ, but to have God dwelling in you. I may be wrong, but I don't think I am in this. Will you agree with me that phrase, God in us, is far more personal? Far more personal than God with us? Would you agree with that? Which would you have right now? God is against you, but God is for you in His Son, Jesus Christ. Is God in you? You see, that's the greatest preparation you and I can make. Not just for Christmas, but for every day of our lives and for all of eternity. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
Is God in you? Have you been born again? You see, that's where it begins. That's why John says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he writes there in 1 John chapter 1, he says, but as many as received him, meaning Jesus, God's gift, that he hung on Calvary's cross for you and me, who rose again from the grave, to prove that not only is God for you and for us, but that God wants to be in our lives. But as many as received him, to them gave he the authority, the power to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. God against us? Yes. God for us? Yes. But the most deepest and life-changing experience that you and I can ever have with Emmanuel is having him in our lives. Let's go on. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, Paul is using the word mystery, that which is revealed by God alone. When God revealed his Son revealed the Father to us. And God reveals it in his Word, in his Son, but also to our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that you and I would understand that Emmanuel, God with us, wants to be God in us. Jesus answered him and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God in us. Amen.
Amen.
And God has done this all for you and me in his Son, Jesus Christ, whom we celebrate today, joyfully, lovingly, loudly, because we love him. You love him?
Amen.
You love Jesus? I pray you too. The promise of his presence. Have you given your heart to Jesus? Three things that we need to do. It's simple as ABC. Maybe you're here and you've gone to Christmas celebrations and you celebrate Christmas at home year after year after year. It's a great time. It really is. Time for families to get together and invitations go out to friends and families to eat together, fellowship together, exchange gifts. But you know, there's one invitation that you have personally. If you're here and God for you has not become God in you yet, he can. Today, this moment, transform your life and your destiny. It's as simple as ABC. A, admit that we're a sinner, that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again from the grave. B, believe in him, trust in him, believe in Jesus as your Savior. C, simply commit your life to him. Say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that because of my sins, because of a sinner, God is against me. And I'm rebellion. But I also know that God is for me in his Son, Jesus Christ. Today, on this day, December 20th, this morning, I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins and to come into my life so that you who are for me can now be in me. God's greatest gift. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege, the opportunity, the freedom to gather and celebrate your Son, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Thank you, Father, that you hung your greatest, most precious gift on the cross for our salvation, that we could be reconciled with you. Lord, I pray for every man, woman, and boy and girl here in this auditorium. Lord, I pray for the effectual working of your word, the word that has been read, that has been heard. Lord, may your Holy Spirit work upon our hearts We who know you, Lord Jesus, as Lord and Savior, as Emmanuel within us, Lord Jesus, may we grow in our love for you, our commitment to you, our walk with you stronger. And out of that compelling love, do those things that honor you and please you in our lives, in our marriages, in our families, where we work, where we live. And may, Father, I pray, those who are here this morning with us, I thank you, Father, for them, how precious they are. May they also come to that faith, that trust in you, Lord Jesus, that this Christian wouldn't be same old, but it would be different because of Emmanuel within them. And Father, I pray for the effectual working of your word. Your word will not go forth and return unto you void, except that it accomplish that which you have purposed for your glory and your purpose in our lives. Amen.